Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast. My name is Toby Webb, and I'm here at our Smallholder Sustainability Conference in London at Diageo's very nice headquarters, which they've generously hosted the conference in. And joining me here in the podcast is Alan Johnson, who's Senior Operations Officer at the IFC, the International Finance Corporation. And apologies, listeners, if you can hear some doors banging and things clanking in the background. That's what happens at conferences. So, Alan, welcome to the podcast.
Great. Well, thanks for having me.
And you've been talking here about IFC's perspective on capacity building and smallholder farmers. What does capacity building mean for IFC when it comes to smallholder farming?
Our main motivation in this area is seeing the lack of professionalism or the lack of capacity amongst smallholder farmers as one of the big constraints, if you like, to some of the growth of the ag sector, and then more specifically, the actual needs of our clients in their supply chains, where they're looking for security of supply, more sustainability, more traceability, and so on. So there's a number of well-known challenges, lack of access to finance and so on. But one of the constraints we've definitely focused on recently has been this lack of professionalism, as we see it. And that's both in terms of agronomic professionalism, but also more importantly, perhaps, or more neglected at least, business management capability.
And so what does working on that look like in practice? How do you make a difference there?
We've actually been working on a whole new approach to this area. I think training and capacity building is one of those interesting areas where lots of organizations have spent lots of money, and sometimes it's quite difficult to know how effective what you've spent has been. So we've been working on a system that integrates a quantitative measurement of capability and then a standardized training curriculum. And our hope is that training and capacity is something that can actually be measured. And then beyond that, by having this standardized approach combined with this quantitative assessment, we think that's the key to getting scalability and impact at scale, which I think is one of the themes of this conference.
Well, yes, it's something everybody, I think, talks about when it comes to smallholders, because as I said in the introduction to the panel that we had yesterday, you know, lots of companies have their pet 5,000 smallholders that they're helping, and we don't even know if they're different smallholders from somebody else's pet 5,000 smallholders. And the key thing is, can things be joined up and get to scale? And that's one of the things we were talking about on the panel. Thinking back to yesterday's session, I mean, what for you came out of it that you think might be useful for the listeners of the podcast?
Well, I think it was a great session. I really enjoyed the audience participation. I think there were a couple of themes that came out which really resonated for me. One, which again reflects the thing that came up not just in this session but throughout, was the reality of the multi-stakeholder environment that we're in. So, you know, it is a function that it's a thing that corporates are interested in. It's a thing that the financiers like ourselves are interested in, but also there's government and there's civil society organizations and so on. So it's the challenge is beyond the reach or the ability of one single party to cope with this. So we're looking at a multi-stakeholder coalition or alliance or whatever, you know, where to be effective, we've got to bring these different parties together behind a sort of a common framework, common approach. And that's, I think, what we're trying to sort of bring with this, you know, the standardized assessment and curriculum.
And what are the success factors you need to work towards or to achieve to get there?
Yeah, so this is a challenge. For this to be really effective and to work at scale, I guess we're being ambitious here. You know, we would want this to become a kind of market standard, if you like, for training and capacity building. We have set up this alliance, this foundation called EMEA, and we have, I think, someone's going to sort of get me for this. I think we're on 10 members at the moment, but obviously we want far more than that.
Corporate members.
This is a mixture of corporates. It actually reflects the multi-stakeholder environment I was talking about. Mostly it is capacity building service providers, but some corporates and obviously ourselves. We want more people to aspire to using the system of assessments and the standardized curriculum that we've developed. The third element in this actually is to really unlock the sort of potential and the lower cost and the sustainability. We need to engage local training providers in the different markets that we're focused on. So in addition to this assessment and then the curriculum, in 2017, we'll be making a big push to accredit local training providers in the approach. So that would basically make it a lot easier for people to implement the program in different geographies.
And how influential is the IFC in this space? I mean, I'm thinking back to the IFC safeguards, which really formed the basis of the Equator principles and this notion of free, prior, and informed consent. A lot of that's for land use. A lot of that came out of work done by IFC. Are you as influential in this area as you have been in others?
I think those are great examples. We'd love to get to that level, but this, you know, literally this is the very start of this this particular initiative. So it's great that you're, you know, allowing me to describe this to your audience. Yeah, so I think from the IFC point of view, it's all wrapped up in the needs of our clients and combining that, if you like, with the developmental impact. So I think something like this, if it did become mainstream, but if nothing else, it's going to shake up the cozy world of training, where, as I say, there's a lot of issues around money that's spent and returns being unclear. The advantage of the system we have, and we could be sort of hit by it ourselves, is that, you know, we're measuring the impact of training, essentially, and, you know, we need to reflect on the results that we get from our own system, if you like.
That's great. I think we'll call this to a halt here. Alan, thanks so much for your time today.
Great. Thank you.